The Ticket.
Michigan Insider Podcast is brought to you in part by defense attorney and WTKA legal insider Joe Simon. Find Joe at themichigandefenders.com.
And we are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTK.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side of the country. I was about to say the glass again as he is in Ann Arbor. I am in D.C. to check out a big-time prospect on Michigan's radar before heading back to Ann Arbor for the game tomorrow. Of course, I'm heading back tonight for the game tomorrow. But also, I want to take this opportunity to let you know that things are back to normal over at Brighton Ford when it comes to the great deals. That's right. Get on board with Brighton Ford by going to brightonford.com or make it out to the lot at 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan, and you can check out the great options, the great deals, like the one on the new 2021 Ford Escape SE all-wheel drive. Get into that for $220 a month, $2,000 down, or $282 a month, $500 down. How about the 2021 Ford Edge SEL? $271 per month with $2,000 down, or $333 a month with $500 down. Or last but not least, the new 2021 Ford Bronco Sport Big Bend. Very popular vehicle. Get into one for $350 a month with $2,000 down, or $413 a month with $500 down. For those and other great deals, get on board with Brighton Ford by going to brightonford.com or make it on out to the showroom and to the lot at 8240 West Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. The Grand River exit off of I-96 in Brighton. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from the freeway exit and you're there. Go see John Cuter. He'll take care of you. We are back now with John U. Bacon, part two. With Bakes and I, before we leave this college football chat, so, man, Notre Dame, they do some sneaky things, man. They do some sneaky things. Like back in 06, I was telling Ira, I was down on the field for the game in 06 in the grass. I swear to you, Bakes, I'm not the tallest guy, but the grass was up to my knees. It was the tallest grass I'd ever seen on a college football field. It was crazy. Didn't help them that day. Michigan still blew by them. But, you know, it's a little gamesmanship. Now they go and renovate their stadium just so Purdue can't bring their halftime drum. Purdue hasn't been without his halftime drum since 1921. It's been 100 years they've had this drum at halftime. And Notre Dame renovated their stadium just so Purdue could bring their big drum in. Now, I'm halfway joking. I think Ira is spot on. I think they set it up so opposing teams' bands, it makes it very hard for their bands to be a part of the game day atmosphere at Notre Dame.
Bush League is what I have to say about that. Second time today. Man, first of all, the College Football Hall of Fame used to be in South Bend. That's how much we think of it. That is the epicenter of college football, and not without reason, of course. If you are against college bands, you are against college football. It is one of the great separators between college football and pro football, the bands. Again, unpaid talent and a lot of talent out there. So you don't want other teams to bring their bands. Look, when you're playing Michigan, that's almost always the away game that another team's band will come. So how many times Western's band, of course? How many times do you see Washington's band? Already two for two. I don't know if Northern Illinois got a band or not, but you're probably going to see them if they have one. So that is part of the deal. And you know what? If you are at Michigan, you come to expect this. That is a lucky thing. You want to see the other band. Man, I recall when Delaware State came and the football coaches were in the tunnel just to watch that band play because that band was awesome. So anyway, if you're against that, you're against college football. It's petty. It's silly if that's what the case is. And by the way, also, that drum can come down the tunnel where Notre Dame goes down. So let the damn drum in, for crying out loud. You want to be the team that stops Purdue's drum from coming down. How petty and silly. And by the way, if your team is so crappy that drum is going to make the difference, you suck.
I agree, Bakes. They can make an exception. They can let the drum come down the tunnel. They're simply choosing not to. I had a conversation with the MGO blog guys, but Brian Cook was talking about Mel Pearson, mm-hmm. talking about the recruiting job that he's doing. And so we know these first round picks, I mean, it's just amazing.
Lights out.
You know, unprecedented. You look at the top five and you see Michigan. I mean, unbelievable. But he's stacking it. He's stacking it with similar classes beyond that. And so it's not just a one-off. Like, after the Fab Five, it was like, they had another Fab Five, but it was like five years later. It wasn't the next class.
Yeah, right.
And here Mel Pearson is stacking these classes. So Brian said what he sees Mel Pearson doing now. He said Michigan is on the verge of being the Alabama of college hockey, legally, of course, but the Alabama of college hockey. Can you put in perspective in your words, from your view, what you see Mel Pearson doing on the recruiting trail?
Well, Brian's right. If they stack, two or three classes like this, good luck to everybody else, I guess. I mean, yeah, you can beat Alabama once in a while, but it's got to be Clemson or Georgia or one of those, and it's got to be once in a year maybe based on, the ball bounces and the pucks bounce too, of course. No. And the last undefeated team, of course, is Cornell back in 69, I think. So that has not happened in hockey almost ever. Wouldn't happen even with the best talent out there, nature of the sport, and how many games you play. But he's right. Now, the catch is, even more shocking thing to me is, okay, with talent like that, these guys all have agents and so on, they're already drafted. They've always got one eye in the NHL and one eye at Michigan. That's kind of the downside. But these guys came back, and if you asked me 4 or 5 months ago the odds of that, I would say, my one, we're back to Jim Carrey, one in a million, maybe. So that is as impressive as getting these guys in the first place is keeping them. So if you got that kind of talent, look, hey, Bishop Sycamore, I'm coming out of retirement. I would be happy to coach that team for a weekend, and my odds are excellent. Knowing nothing, my odds are excellent. So that's how, and I'm not to denigrate their coaching ability either. That has to happen on the ice. Practice time, you get 4 practices for every 2 games. But, man, that is such an advantage at that point. And, as it starts to build on itself because these guys got buddies, and if they're happy there, then they tell their buddies also. So, and what people don't realize, unlike college football and basketball, and you and I have talked about this, it'd be like Alabama out recruiting everybody in college football plus the CFL plus all of Europe if they played actual football there as well or better than you do. And Canadian juniors is the best path to the NHL for the first 100 years of the league. So you're outdrafting them. That is incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome perspective, Bakes. Yeah, you aren't just recruiting against, other programs. You're recruiting against the pros. So, yeah, that really puts it in perspective. So put this in perspective for me. When Mel was an assistant here, was he like Red's number one recruiter? Was he his ace recruiter? What was his reputation on the recruiting trail back then?
Well, clearly quite good. Look at those squads. So he and Billy Powers, credit given there, all of a sudden, hey, Red clearly could recruit himself. But it's a team that has to do it. So those three, I mean, look at Red 33 years. He had to get it going. After that, there was never, from 1990 on, there's never a talent deficiency with Michigan and their opponents, and usually an advantage. Peaking in 96, 97, 98, I still maintain the greatest Michigan team of all time is 97. Despite not winning the title, they won it in 96 and 98. It might have been the best team ever assembled in college hockey. Of 11 seniors, they had 11 seniors for one thing, which never happens anymore. I think 10 played pro hockey. And one of the lower ones was John Madden, who had one of the longest runs in the NHL. So that's how loaded that team was. I recall Marty Turco, the goalie for that team, who also played in the NHL for 10, 12 years. He had a great line. He said, "We could have given the opposing coach our roster every night. Here's a pen. Scratch off 5 names. You're still losing." And that's how good that squad is, and you're getting to that now. And you know what? This team might be better on paper than that team. So that's as high as water gets.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, so Bakes, we'll close things out with a little bit of Lions chat. Not about them being down 4 touchdowns, but they came back. They came back from being down 4 touchdowns, John U. Bacon, and nearly nearly pulled off the comeback. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just, you know, one more score and they're there. So it was, it showed me a little something,
Sam.
About the, showed me a little something about the buy-in for this team.
I agree with that.
Yeah, at least here in the early going with Dan Campbell, buy-in that they clearly did not have with Matt Patricia. But there was a scene on the sideline. I don't know if you saw it. Mm-hmm. Jeff Okuda, former Ohio State Buckeye corner,
right?
He went out. He got toasted. So he comes to the sideline, and Aubrey Pleasant, his position coach, from Flint, Michigan, former GA at the University of Michigan. He played his college football at Wisconsin. He was giving him some coaching. It was some stern coaching, but he was giving him some coaching. The guy, Jeff Okuda, is being dismissive. He's being disrespectful. He's disregarding authority, period. He's looking off into space. He's talking back. He's not listening at all. At which point, Aubrey Pleasant goes off and gets pretty animated, gets pretty loud. The camera catches him very demonstratively saying, do your job. Do your job. He said it over and over again. And the emphasis on that, the intensity of that message increased every time he said, do your job. It was striking, right? So you had some players, though, take issue. Not players on the Lions, but former players that are commentators say, this is a sign of bad culture in Detroit. You can't have coaches disrespecting players like that. And I'm like, man, what are we talking about, Bakes? Are we at the point in the pros where players get a pass for disrespecting, utterly disrespecting coaches, and coaches can't coach in response to that?
And they're wrong, because, look, he did not start out, yelling at Okuda and so on. He, built a case, trying to calmly explain what's happening on the field, seems like, near as we can figure. And Okuda was disrespecting him. Respect is a two-way street. And if you put up with disrespect for the coaches or the parents or the teachers, the principals, or anybody else, you are lost by Tuesday. It can't happen. So, look, we had not too many rules in our team. Work hard, support your teammates. That was it. But if there's disrespect, back talk, etc., that got shut down very, very quickly, and it has to be, whether you're in the mood for it or not. I don't think this coach was looking for a fight, but he got one, and it wasn't his fight to start. It was Okuda's. So these guys are saying you can't disrespect the players. The players can't disrespect the coaches either. Two-way street. He did exactly the right thing, in my opinion, based on, again, what we know about it, reading lips on the sidelines, clearly limited nonetheless. Our two-cent take here is just that, and if you're not willing to stand up for yourself, don't expect anyone else to stand up for you either. And if he gets away with that in week two, then you've lost all control and you're out the window. Now, look, I guarantee you that Bill Belichick ain't putting up with that crap, and they got 18 million rings to show for it. And you know what? I don't care who their official coach is in Tampa Bay right now. Tom Brady's coaching that damn team. All right, let's be clear. And you know what Tom Brady doesn't put up with? Crap like that. So Tom Brady's not afraid quietly to get in your face as needed. Every good team has that. So Okuda needs to grow up or get out. And what Chuck Daly told me about the great dream team of 92, now granted, I could have coached that team, so could have you. You're not going to lose to Romania by 50 or whatever. Pretty easy stuff. But he said the key to that team is great players let you coach them. And right now, Okuda, you ain't a great player. So what he's telling you is crazy. Okay, that's different. But he's not telling you anything crazy, is my guess. It's just basic fundamentals. And if you can't handle that, and by the way, don't tell me Urban Meyer put up with that at Ohio State, because I know damn well he didn't. So
Well.
Okay, I'll back off that last one.
let's pump the brakes, man.
Okay. Urban, I went too far there at the end.
Yeah. Urban was ready to let Percy Harvin jumped on one of his coaches down in Florida, and Urban didn't want to suspend him. Charlie Strong.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah, Charlie Strong eventually said, "Urban, we can't. We can't allow this."
Right.
But it's Percy. Urban, we can't allow this.
Well, only plug of the day for let them lead. But in there, I say, look, if you back, I told my players, if you back talk to me, we can discuss a lot of things in the coaches' room and so on. Nothing's off limits. You can disagree with me, et cetera. We can hash out all that. All right. But if you back talk me, especially in front of everybody else, you got one big problem, and it will not end well for you there. But if you back talk one of our assistants, you got every problem in the world, because I will take their side automatically. If you don't have that, you don't have assistant coaches. And that's a failure of leadership on Urban's part in that case. But to correct one small thing, Sam, I am not anti-Lions. Never been anti-Lions. I'm just not sipping any of that Kool-Aid. That's all I'm doing.
He's just sane.
Yeah. I am a rational observer of data. That's what I am.
Right. See, I can play for you. I could coach for you, John U. Bacon. Dan Campbell, the one misstep so far is after that whole exchange, he in the media, he said, well, I didn't like it, but I didn't dislike it. Now, he didn't indict him, but he also didn't offer full throat of support, which I think, nah, bro, that's you need to get behind that 100%.
Also, here's what I would have said in front of the media. First of all, I said that's an internal issue. We'll handle it internally. I can tell you this. One of the fundamental principles of everything we do here at the Detroit Lions under me is players respect coaches, coaches respect players. That has to be true every day we work together, period, and drop it there.
Yeah. Good stuff, John U. Bacon. Appreciate you, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, podcast, Let Them Lead by Bacon.com. We got Tim Williams on there, VP of Diversity for Myers. Great conversation. And we're getting Carol Hutchins pretty soon, I swear to God. So check it out, Let Them Lead by Bacon.com. There's your plug.
There you go. All right, Bakes, appreciate you, man. Folks, that's going to do it for us here on this edition of the Michigan Insider. Be sure to join us for tomorrow's pregame show, the Key Bank Countdown to Kickoff, live inside the Bud Light Victor's Lounge, corner of Stadium in Maine. Catch us starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So looking forward to it. That'll do it for us. See you tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.